Okay, welcome back, everyone. It's 21:45, and we will resume for the next session, in which we will hear from Clive Lansing and the Technical Materials Committee. Clive?
Do the postcard? I'm just sharing my
Oh,
screen as
sorry.
we
Thank you so much.
speak.
Sorry, postcard.
That is okay. Oops, let me get rid of JAWS. I just have to optimize for video and then share screen. It's coming right now.
Workplace to inbox to go midterm 2026 file explore podcast and trailer outline dot midterm welcome postcards enter postcards enter one Jennifer postcard dot mp3 today enter participant selected enter media player space speech on demand.
One of the most iconic features of Perkins School for the Blind is the change ringing bells. From the Perkins Annual Report, 1912, a magnificent peal of English bells has been presented to the institution for its commanding tower. They are given in memory of her husband by Mrs. Andrew C. Wheelwright of Boston, who is a grandniece of Thomas Handicid Perkins. The bells are being cast in London and are expected to arrive this coming winter. From the Perkins Annual Report, 1913, doubtless the most interesting event of the fall term was the arrival from England of the great peal of 8 fine-toned bells for the tower. Brought into the museum on December 11th, they rested there several days before being hoisted into the belfry. The rare opportunity of examination was seized by everyone. Even the children of the kindergarten came from Jamaica Plain to see them. The tenor bell weighs 2,200 pounds, the treble 700. Each bears a name and an inscription selected by Mrs. Wheelwright and Mr. Sturgis. Being embossed in Roman letters, the pupils could read them for themselves and had much satisfaction in doing so. Let's listen to the bells.
Thank you. Okay, now we will proceed on with Clive. Thank you.
Okay. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. What's going on here? Hang on.
We hear you fine.
You hear me fine, but my
East.
braille display is not advancing, so that's going to make it hard for me to read.
Beach.
I'm not
Inbox
sure
zone
what's.
workplace. Inbox to golden
Hang
app.
on,
Profile
there it
inbox
is.
to golden app.
Yes.
Level 2 all desks. Public channel.
Jen, I
Channel
think we
options.
can
Let's see
still
how we
hear your
go.
speech.
I'm trying to get back to the webinar window and it's not
Okay. Judy
letting me. So,
Dulumet's
Clive,
on.
I apologize. I'm trying to hear. Okay.
So we'll, I think we can keep going.
Is it gone now?
No, it's not speaking. Yes.
Or,
Okay.
okay.
So our focus for this session is on changes to the guidelines for technical materials, often referred to as GTM. There are more details in my formal report, which you will have, but I'll spend a few minutes just summarizing that. Before I do that, I just want to confirm that if you are a member of the committee, you can be promoted to be a panelist, which means you can have full access to participate in the discussion. So, anyone who hasn't done that yet, if you just want to raise your hand, and I'm sure someone will take care of that.
Yes.
Each country member of ICEB is formally represented on the committee by a voting member. So, we have eight such members. They're listed in my report, and we also have three additional special voting members, so 11 voting members altogether. Observers can join the committee with the approval of the relevant Braille authority. They can participate in discussions, but they can't vote. And currently, we have 94 observers. Before I go on to talk about our actual work since the last General Assembly, I will comment that we do most of our work by email, but we do meet face to face from time to time, at least in a virtual sense. And so we met on the 3rd of February 2025 and again on the 4th of February 2026. We also had a town hall session on the 4th of June this year, which I'll comment on shortly. I just want to change something on my computer that hopefully means I won't have just get that sorted. I'm getting alerts from Zoom at the same time. So that anyway, I'll now comment briefly on the work that we've done since the last General Assembly. We did a lot of work on choice and placement of grade one indicators, and the result of that is a whole new section 1.7 of the GTM entitled Choice and Placement of Grade One Indicators that we now we will gives it. It gives clearer guidance on using grade one indicators in different situations. The new guidance clarifies when it's appropriate to use a grade one symbol, word, or passage indicator, and it focuses on technical materials, obviously. So we've also added a lot of examples of different types of expressions to illustrate the use of grade one indicators in different situations. And we urge transcribers of technical materials to become familiar with this now and to start using or following that guidance in your work. And in that regard, we held a successful town hall session on the 4th of June this year, where we explained the new guidance in some detail with examples and answered some questions from the floor. So that's one job that we've crossed off our list. We might come back to it if there's any further need to review it. Now, I can move. We also did some work on, there's another task, a CME, that asks us to look at the current rule, which states that the space should be inserted between a function and a lowercase variable. So that would be like sine space x. When a space is not used between a function and other expressions, such as sine 60. And I had noted in my own notes when we had this discussion that there seemed to be general agreement that no change was needed to that rule, to that guidance. And that guidance is in section 9.3 of the GTM. But when I reviewed my notes to prepare for this report, it did seem that maybe there were a couple of issues that we needed to come back to. So I've got a commitment now to bring that back to the committee in due course. But at the time, there didn't seem to be any sort of strong suggestion for change. So we'll see where that goes. Moving on to Resolution 6 from the last General Assembly, it asks us to look at new symbols, symbol assignments with the idea of bringing UEB up to date. And that resolution focuses on symbols that are already in the Nemeth Code and that should be added to UEB. But the committee feels it's also timely to look at symbols in general that are in current usage in technical materials. And in this regard, there's a charge, CM18, which asks us to devise a UEB symbol for the natural join used in relational algebra, and task CMB that suggests assignments for double struck letters. Well, we talked about this yesterday, so I won't sort of repeat that here, other than that I would urge anyone who is interested to look at the spreadsheet that we now have that lists all of the symbols in one place that we've kind of gathered together. They're symbols waiting for our attention. You'll find a link to that in my full report. And remember that we could add symbols to that at any time as we go through that work. We've agreed to start first with double struck letters, so these can be formally recommended for adoption. And that would resolve task CMB. And we would probably then move on to new symbols that should be added in the area of basic algebra, then trigonometry and calculus. That's kind of like the order of priority that we had agreed earlier. And we see this as ongoing work that we will pursue alongside our other work, because it's clearly a big piece of work to do these symbols, but we've made a start and we have a kind of a plan of attack, but we will get on with other work at the same time. So I'll move now on to line continuation indicators, which are currently what we're discussing. And there are two tasks that are sort of relevant to that. There's CMH, which asks us to expand provisions covering the use of line continuation indicators, and task CMP, that asks us to establish a rule or guidance for the division of computer material, particularly in-line material, between rail lines, and determine whether a line continuation indicator is required. But when we commenced our work on this, we were taken back to a much earlier discussion on this topic, which raised quite a number of matters that needed to be resolved with regard to line continuation indicators. So the outcome of this work is likely to be a significant update to sections 1.4 and 1.7 of the GTM. And we're well into this discussion now, and as you might expect, there are quite a number of weighty issues that need to be resolved. And some points that we've looked at so far in this discussion include: we want to avoid splitting an expression if possible, presumably by going on to a new line at the start of that expression, but not if the expression is still too long to fit on a line and has to be split anyway. We want to avoid splitting an expression between letters, but we need to develop guidance on how to handle excessively long strings of letters that can occur in various technical situations. There's a lot of new guidance needed to help Braille producers determine the best place to split a long expression. And we might agree on splitting before or after certain symbols, but it gets complicated because you wouldn't want to split an expression after an underscore if that underscore is actually part of a variable name in some program languages. And so there are numerous other examples where we need to consider and And what we come up with may in fact depend on the nature of the expression. So, for example, if it's a file name, if it's a URL, if it's an email address or computer software notation, etc., the guidance might have to vary depending on that. And so we are kind of wrapping our heads around all of those considerations. We're wanting to encourage the consistent use of the line continuation indicator and the line continuing indication indicator with space. And with that in mind, we are considering whether to withdraw the guidance in section 1.4 of the GTM that allows a long equation to be split at certain points simply by going on to the next line and indenting. So then that's another issue. We're considering clarifying that when an expression is split, for words that occur after the splitting point, any such words will retain the same the Braille form they would have had before the expression was split. And we believe that that should avoid the problem of the split causing a word to stand alone, which wouldn't have been the case before the split. I hope you understand what I mean. But that is an issue that's been part of that discussion. We're also considering clarifying that all modes, including grade one and type forms that are in operation when a line continuation character is used to continue onto the next line, that those modes will just continue. In other words, the reader would keep reading the Braille on the next line as if it directly followed the previous line with no space. And we would also clarify that the effect of a line continuation with space symbol would be to terminate the effect of a grade one word indicator and other word-oriented type forms as long as the original print space was not a numeric space. So you can see how it does actually get complicated, and we want to make sure that we cover all of the all of the points properly. In our discussions yesterday, the comment was made that often it is better to call a meeting to progress a difficult issue. And I agree with that. But based on what I've learned from doing this work, it's also important to ensure that all the main issues are at least on the table, so that we don't end up heading towards a resolution only to find that a new issue then comes out of the woodwork and takes us by surprise, needs to be taken into account. So, with regard to line continuation indicators and the discussions we've had so far, I think all the main issues probably are out there now, and I have attempted to summarize those back to the committee. I hope that that means that we'll be able to move our focus now on to what changes we would actually like to make to our guidance and whether we want to recommend any changes to the rules of Unified English Braille, because that also has come up in our discussion. So we might come back to that shortly. Anyway, moving now on to omissions. At our virtual meeting on the 4th of February this year, we agreed that work on omissions is a priority, but we decided that we'd wait until the Code Maintenance Committee completes its work on numeric mode. I think that covers the work that we've actually done since the last General Assembly. There are other charges on our lists on our list that are listed in my report. So there's CM21, Revised Guidelines for Technical Materials, has to do with defining new version to replace Section 11 of the rule book. There is set 23. There are three symbols approved by the committee for included in the reader rules. I've got the whole text of that rule here if we want to. And there's CM27 and CMF to do with the clarifying the use of capital indicators in technical materials. So We do have some work still on our list after we complete line continuation indicators. We'll go on to those tasks and charges, and we'll be continuing our work on symbol assignments. Anyway, that is my summary of where we are with the committee. We obviously have time for some discussion if anyone would like to comment on anything that's relevant to this committee's work. And we've got quite a bit of time ahead of us for doing that.
I do see James has a hand raised.
Yes, if someone could monitor the Zoom for me, that would be good because it's I'm
Yes.
focused on something else.
Sure.
So, James.
Thank you, Clive. It's great to see what work we've done so far. I was going to ask, we've discussed it several times, but it's not on a task or charge, which is to create an appendix of composite signs. So these are particularly, I think it also applies not only to the technical side, but particularly for the technical side. For example, arrows, for example, negated symbols, etc., composite symbols. What do you think that's a good idea or a
Yes, that has been mentioned with respect to symbol assignments in general. And there, I think Jody might want to comment on this, but I think there is a section on composite symbols in our spreadsheet. Just what that's going to turn into is not for me to predict, but it's not as if we've lost sight of it. They are, in fact, in that, I believe they're in that spreadsheet now, the ones
thank you.
that have been
That
brought to
that's
our
great,
attention.
Clive.
So we won't lose sight of them, James.
Brilliant.
That's part of
But
that work.
I mention it because it would be potentially a new appendix to the rules rather than guidance on technical materials.
That's right. And so it comes into that comment I made about whether we might recommend. I mean, with this committee can only recommend anyway, but when it comes to the rules, obviously code maintenance has to then have a look at it as well.
Thank you.
Just on the spreadsheet, Clive, the composites is in a separate sheet, and there
Okay.
are categories within that. There are 12 categories on the spreadsheet, and on the composites page, there's basic maths, miscellaneous, letter-like symbols, negated relations. Oh, sorry, missed arrows. Arrows, negated relations, and geometry. So that
Oh, nice.
covers
Thank you,
shapes,
Jody.
that covers shapes.
And I guess that's just a reminder, anyone who does look at that spreadsheet, because sometimes I can miss this when I do it, to do that thing where you look, where you go to the other pages in the spreadsheet.
We have a raised hand from Matthew.
Matthew.
Hello. Sorry, I think we played battle with the mute button a bit, but yeah, hello. I just wanted to flag to James and also to you, I suppose, Clive. We do actually have a task for this. We haven't lost sight of it. The task is CMAI. We didn't convert it into a charge, and it's not on the list for the Technical Materials Committee because, as you say, it would be an appendix for the rule book rather than an appendix for GTM. And so on the list of tasks, there's a drop down that says which committee should it be assigned to. And I assigned it to code maintenance on the basis that at a high level, code maintenance looks after the rule book and Clive's committee looks after the guidelines for technical material. So it is there. And there is a task. It's just assigned to code maintenance at the moment rather than Clive's
Right.
committee.
Yeah. And that's probably where it belongs, except just to make sure that we all un understand that composite symbols that are relevant to technical materials are in the spreadsheet. And look, anyone can the whole idea as we try and do this work in blocks, as I explained yesterday, is that we'll try to just cover symbols that are in common usage. And so if we missed one, people can still bring those to our attention and say, no, we need a symbol for this, and it keeps popping up in my work. So we did ask people to have regard to what they're currently working on, and whether there is a case for symbols to be actually added, or just as composites, etc. So yeah, one way or another, we've got it covered, I think.
Thank you.
I should just say, sorry, Clive, while I've got the microphone, this sort of task is the reason why I didn't put it forward for a charge is because I didn't really want the whole of the code maintenance committee to get bogged down in just at the moment in deciding what composite symbols should be made, should end up on the list. The task itself is actually not a difficult task to do. It's just, well, do you want to bring it forward and then have to prioritize it and all the rest of it? So if you not to put even more work on you, James, but if you actually have something that resembles a list of what those composite symbols should be, and you know, if you get half a day and think, actually, look, I'll just put a candidate appendix four together and see what you think, then actually, once we've got something to work with, it becomes a lot easier to prioritize, and we can just bring it forward and see what happens with it.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that will come out of the symbols work. I think there is perhaps a case for some non-technical symbols.
Ah, oh, like arrows and things, yeah.
Well, arrows can be classed as technical or non-technical, but I think they should definitely be there. Now, I was thinking there is some example somewhere of a prescription take symbol. In the rule book, as an example of a superimposed character, so it's non-technical, but I guess that should be included. And whether one wants to go down the route of listing some of the accented letters, I don't know. There's all sorts of things one could do.
The prescription take symbol is already included in the GTM, so you're right about
Okay.
being
Cool.
technical. That's one, yeah, I'd like to further discuss. I've
Yeah,
forgotten.
so I think it will come flow naturally then, from the work that's being done, which is great news. Thank you.
Oh, I remember why my hand was up. Just speaking about the this work with the composites, there's a little bit of work to be done by the code maintenance committee on shape and arrow mode. We're really
Yes.
needing to just, clarify those issues so then we can, with confidence, make the composite assignments for certain, particularly, I guess, shapes when you're combining, the,
Yes.
yeah,
Circle plus.
there's the grade one indicator issue, but it's also, yeah, there's a discrepancy with the rule book around that. Is it the physical enclosure, the composite signs, the composite symbol indicators, and the concept of an item? The composite symbol indicators are used to combine two items. And when you have a shape where technically the guidelines for technical material says that you do need to use a shape terminator, but the example in the rule book doesn't actually use, it's the very example that comes from the reader rules, and it doesn't actually include the terminator, but it does on the reader rules. Yeah, so I think it's not a lot of work for the code maintenance committee. I think more of the work will lie with the technical materials committee, to flesh out all the examples, but yeah, we do need to kind of establish and clarify the rules around shape and arrow mode before being able to finalize all of this symbol work.
Could be more
There's more
radical.
work for the technical
Yeah.
materials committee after we've done emissions would be to
Yeah.
have a look at that those sections in the GTM.
I'm not formally proposing this, but I think there is actually a case to discuss whether we really even need a shape terminator.
That has
One could
been
write the
raised.
rules if you don't actually need it, but that's another discussion entirely.
Well, I could give you a specific example that occurred
Yeah.
to me the other day. I was thinking,
I don't want to get into
okay,
it.
I
So
won't
you're
get into it.
saying,
What happens when
well,
you get
you get
coding
yeah.
people together? A circle horizontally juxtaposed with another circle.
Oh, a nice one.
Hmm. Leave that with you,
Nice
James.
one. Yeah, I like that. That's an infinity sign. You got the sign symbol for that already. Just about.
Well, okay, we could digress onto this,
Love it.
but
Rein us in, Clive.
I love
So
it.
I
I
just
love
I
it.
do agree that
So
we
the
need a
concept of
term.
arrow mode and the how the meanings of arrow mode are different to grade one mode. There's
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to the present then, and so obviously I've summarized what we've done and what we're doing, but is there any, so this is an opportunity now for people just to talk freely about the points that I've raised, and so is there. And I'm not even sure who's online at the moment, who are actual committee members. I heard Donald Wieniecki just joined the meeting as I was putting my headphones on. So this, and Jody's there. So I know we've got a few committee members, but are there is there anybody who would like to comment then on particularly line continuation indicators, which is our current topic, or anything else that I've just touched, covered today. No. Okay. Well, that's fine because it means the committee can just carry on as we would normally. So just summarizing that then, we had a request to move things along with respect to symbol assignments and to call a virtual meeting to perhaps cover off the issue of, for example, with double struck letters, do we consider those to be symbols or do we consider those to be a type form? So that's clearly a matter that needs resolution and that might be the subject of a meeting. And I think we are at the point with line continuation indicators where we've pretty much got all the issues out in the open, and we just need to start focusing now on what we would change in the guidance and actually get, focused on that. So whether that also should be part of a face-to-face meeting, time will tell. But that's kind of like the two immediate priorities for the committee.
Matthew has his hand raised.
Matthew.
Hi, Clive. I was the one who put you on the spot yesterday about having a meeting. So,
Well, you weren't the only one, but that's okay.
thank you for taking it so well. I wanted to just this issue of double struck letters, and I don't want to get into the meeting that we need to have, but I'm happy to work with you on that meeting. Because I think actually there's probably I think there's probably three committees that would have an interest in this. There's the your committee from the point of view of double struck letters. There's the Braille Technology Committee from the point of view of like I said, I've said it a couple of times now, the issue of I see, don't know if it happens so much nowadays, but there was a trend on social media of there's a whole Unicode character block of I don't know what you call them. I can't remember if they're bolded letters or black letters or there's something. And there was a time when people on social media would use that Unicode block, and so you'd end up with screen readers saying, for there was one company called Sight and Sound Technology, and it would be bold capital letter S, bold capital letter I, bold capital letter G, bold capital letter H, and that would happen. And in Braille, of course, we didn't know how to deal with that, and that's not happening anymore. But it's something that we perhaps ought to have a look at, is what do we want to do about brailing those? Because if we make a decision about brailing those using a bold indicator, but using bold typeform, that would then give us a precedent for double struck letters.
It would, and it's I don't know sometimes why the Unicode people have made the decisions they've made, which in other contexts would have just been dealt with by a font choice or a font attribute, and that would therefore be easier to pick up and just apply to something like Braille. But anyway, if that's what they've done, then we do have to take that into account. Because my logic yesterday was, well, these are just symbols, and then someone pointed out, well, yes, but you also have them for small caps, and now you've talked about bold capital and so on. And it's an area of Unicode that I'm not familiar with,
Well,
Matthew, but
to be honest, it's not an area of Unicode that I'm especially familiar with either, but it's an area where I've seen it come up, and lots of it caused a headache for speech users, let alone Braille
I
users.
bet it did.
And different synths handled it differently. But I think what I'm getting at for the point of view of this meeting is that it doesn't just have to be your committee. I think there might actually
No.
be some worth in actually having a joint meeting of the three committees of code maintenance of UEB Tech and the
Okay.
Braille Technology Group. And I mean, obviously not everybody's going to show up, but then just get some consensus across the three of us about what do we want to do.
Well,
And
maybe
then,
we can work on that, Matthew, as a way to just clarify the principle of that before we apply it to double struck letters. But I know we're under there are people waiting for us to get this done. So hopefully, this isn't going to be a long digression. But it clearly is a bigger issue if that's if. Given what you're saying about other kinds of characters popping up, you clearly circulate in different social media to me.
Well, it was a fad, and I think a lot I actually didn't see it all that often, and the places where I did see it, a lot of speech users complained, and they very quickly stopped doing it.
Oh,
So
I bet.
I think it only happened for like a month or so, but I remember it very clearly, and it
Okay.
just
Oh,
occurred to
well,
me that it's the same type of character.
I
well,
have
let's
seen it. I've
Let's
seen it as
agree
well.
to let's agree to get together on that, Matthew, and kind of try and find a systematic approach to solving that issue.
Sounds good.
Any other comments? Any other discussions relevant to my committee?
Oh, Clive, I was
No?
just interested to talk a little bit more about the symbol work. Maybe
Yeah.
James could describe the math, sorry, the math cat symbols.
Oh yeah, sure. So I was approached by the Mathcat people. Do I mention names? I don't know. Anyway, they originally were asked about a couple of specific shapes. There was a pentagon and a hexagon. And I said, well, those are the symbols that you'd use. And there was a diamond shape as well. And that's one we don't have. But I'm hoping that's definitely on the list. And as a consequence, I was sent a difference list between Nemeth and the UEB implementation of Mathcat. And there were several hundred entries missing compared with the Nemeth code. Not all of them, by the way, are mathematical. So it starts off with it's in Unicode order, so it started off with 0060, which is the key to the left of one on most English keyboards, the grave accent standing alone. And we have a UEB sign for that. And yes, it is used in most of the translators, even though there's no examples in the rule book. So the symbol is accepted. And then it went on to accented letters. And of course, we've got signs for them. And then it went on to superscripted and subscripted Unicode characters. There's another case for us. It's a symbol which the first ones are superscript 2 and superscript 3 for squared and cubed. That they're the first ones you come across, but there's a whole bunch more later on. And then it goes off into arrows and so on and so forth. So there is another, I've passed it on to you, Clive, and to you, Jody. It's another source, I think, which will inform our work, not only on the symbol assignments, but also on the composites. So one of the Unicodes is three equal signs. Well, we can work out how to braille that pretty simply, but it's another Unicode to add to the list of composites. So I think it's a very useful document.
The number was closer to 1,000, wasn't
It was something like 800.
it?
By the way, that is not to say that Nemeth is better or otherwise, because I have found there were symbols which are missing in the Nemeth list as well. So actually, it'll be of mutual benefit to all of us to do this work. Let's be fair.
Well, we have, I think, a sense of being a little bit careful not to just add stuff just for the sake of it, but to make a judgment on its like the common usage, and is it a symbol that that is actually needed. So there's two kinds of things. You can add a symbol and then it's just listed, or you can add a symbol because it is needed and it is actually in usage. So one of the comments that was made regarding Nemeth is there's a lot of characters included in the Nemeth code, but are not regarded as, people wonder when do those characters ever turn up? And so
Maybe they're
we
not used anymore because
Well, that
Nemeth's
could
been
be,
around for a long
I
time.
mean,
Possible too, yes.
things can come and go. So our committee has said, well, we will have some regard to, there's got to be an understanding of when these characters are actually likely to turn up in genuine in current materials that people are working on, which is why we're always asking transcribers, people who are involved in current materials to just be aware of that, and that will be sort of helping us to keep focused on the ones that
So
are needed.
I guess, Clive, we make a public appeal in this meeting. If any transcribers come across a symbol which they need to transcribe and it comes up regularly, please let us know.
Well, we have done that through my committee in the past, but now's an opportunity to do that again in this meeting, just to get it out there that so you got our spreadsheet, you can look at it, and if the symbol you want is already listed, then that's fine. But if it's one we haven't yet picked up, and you want us to add it as a symbol that you think is needed, because it's coming up in your work, then it's important to let us know. And each transcriber is linked to our committee through a voting member, so there's an easy way for people to do that.
Excuse me, Clive, could I just clarify that the spreadsheet's actually a work in progress? Like, I did a good chunk and was actually waiting for feedback to see if people were happy with the general layout, the categories, before putting, and also not to overwhelm people with having so many entries that it was becoming too much to even look at. I tried to capture all the symbols we'd spoken about in discussions and then was working through the autocorrect list. The math autocorrect from Word that David had condensed into a useful form, and I was working through that and I did a couple of pages and then I put it out for sort of comment. And also on that point, sorry.
It does look really good.
It is a work in progress, and the link, as we update it, the link will change. So people have to keep in touch with us to to be up to date with what we're doing. But at least that isn't the spreadsheet is an opportunity, is a way for people to see what we're what we have gathered, that we will
Well, I
be
guess we
giving our
could share
attention
a
to.
link to the folder, you know, and then
That's a possibility. I don't know how
the
that
most up to
works.
date spreadsheet will be at the top of the list.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll
We
probably
also should
yeah.
add that it is a work in progress, that please do not yet use the symbols in live work. They're not yet approved officially.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's often more than one suggestion in the
Yes, exactly.
and also, there was lots. Sometimes we had discussed symbols and we didn't resolve. There were some queries, and I tried to capture that in the comments. So at least there's one place to go rather than going back through all the emails.
Well, that was the idea of trying to collect that into one place.
Exactly.
And then when we get into prioritizing it, which we have agreed on rough priorities, then having that all in one place will really help us to make progress.
Well,
I
I
did.
did also, sorry, tell you, James, you go first.
I do have one question about these symbols, which is, do any of us actually know what they're all for?
I don't know what they're all for, but I'm learning as I go along.
Yes, I can believe that,
I mean,
because
how
I
can you know
certainly don't
all
know what
about
they're all for.
all technical subject areas?
We have to go and look on
We have
the.
our strengths and we have our. Like, I don't know.
Like
So if
anybody's got a
Matt.
friendly math professor, that might be helpful.
Matthew's had his hand raised for a while.
Okay, Matthew, did you
Well,
want to just jump in?
I had a question for James about Mathcat, so perhaps finish the current discussion and then if there's time afterwards, I'll circle back round.
Well, I just wanted to make a bit of a call out to people on the Technical Materials Committee. If there was interest in maybe joining a small working group for this symbols work to help us progress that, make some initial decisions, you know, kind of with all that math cat symbols, there's going to be a whole lot. You know, James did a chunk and I had a check over it, but you know, more eyes. And I think in particular, like it would be good to have some more braille. Readers, touch readers with, you know, background in maths or science to broaden the our knowledge of the different symbols we're going to be coming across. Ideally, it'd be good if people that were on this. So we have myself and David, you know, David began with looking at Nemeth and symbols that he identified and put the tables together. And then I kind of came on and was refining the spreadsheet. And James is also, is always the font of, great symbol knowledge, and he's happy to help where he can. But I wondered if, you know, some more people might like to join a small working group and we could kind of, you know, bounce ideas off each other. And then, you know, with the view to making progressing the work, bringing some of our tentative decisions back to you know, the main group, you know, before we would then go to the CMC. But just to kind of get, it's a bit hard to work on your own when you're unsure and you've got questions and
Oh, it gets very detailed, and the other thing, of course, is to ensure that whatever symbols we might come up with have gone have followed the rules that UEB already has for developing symbols and the like. So it is quite involved work, and we I'm not sure just how many we can actually do, but we've got to have a process for doing them. And I think if there are people keen to develop symbols, then we can form a subgroup that can focus just on that, and
And
that would probably help.
if you have a knowledge of symbol UEB symbol construction rules, but that's easy to learn. I think also being having an awareness of just the symbols that are in use and the patterns that are already established, and then also keeping abreast of the what's happening with the CMC. You know, we've got letter modifiers, which might, that charge to work on. And, we don't want to, we've got to save, we've got to decide, there's only so many symbols left in the, compact ones when we talk about dot four, dot four, five prefixes that are used with letter modifiers. But yeah, so we kind of just keeping that in mind as well, what symbol, where to prioritize, yeah, it all. Yeah, so
So thanks, Jodie. So
yeah,
let's
some people with technical
so
background.
if people are interested in being part of that work and being on a subgroup where, I presume we could then say that that's just a working group. So there's no distinction between observers and voting. It's not that kind of committee. It's just a working group. If people are interested in being part of that, then please let one of us know.
Yeah, it might help just, having each other to bounce ideas off, and that might, obvious clashes could be squashed, and, a good idea, it just kind of help move things along and share the knowledge.
So, Matthew, shall we come back to your point then?
And then we have Jen as well, once Matthew goes.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I just noticed, James, and I wasn't even paying all that much attention when you went through the list of Mathcad symbols. But I noticed you were talking about they wanted to know things like how to do subscript superscript 2 and superscript 3 and things like that. And it just it occurred to me that, well, I was a bit disappointed, or a bit surprised, should I say, that they didn't already know the answer to that question, because I'd have thought that those sorts of things would be fairly clear in the rule book. And I mean, I applaud them for coming to us and asking, but also it feels like the information's already there. So I don't know really what I'm getting at, but I wonder whether there's something to be like whether we need to actually dig a bit deeper into that. And I mean, obviously, answer the question, give them the list of symbols, but actually getting UEB support into Mathcad is a pretty serious priority. Because that would then enable quite a lot of work in one. I forget whether it's resolution one or two now, but
One.
one of those it would really help with. And I kind of wonder whether if those are the sorts of questions that they're asking, whether or not we actually need to assign somebody from ICEB to have a broader conversation with them about UEB and Mathcad and what more ICEB can do to help with, because these are pretty basic questions that they're asking.
Yeah, it was really a character list and things which were missing. So this is another thing which does happen, and it does affect particularly screen reader users. There's two ways of writing X squared, for example. You can write it either as a math expression or a mathematics expression in one of the mathematics technical languages, or you can just write along the line the Unicode for X, the Unicode for squared. And one is likely to work better than the other, and they are going to work differently. And again, you see, if it was in a mathematics expression, you could even write X and then use the Unicode for squared rather than doing a proper superscript 2. It's the several ways of doing it. And it almost comes back to the same discussion of the bold Unicodes rather than using a font bold. It's almost the same argument. Why have they done it?
But
That's
I
so
think my
true.
it's a
Sorry, I was
yeah.
just going to say I was entering copper sulfate into a Word equation editor, and I found that very thing, James, that if I entered it using the Unicode for subscripted 4, it actually read better in JAWS, like to the math content, read better than if I inputted it a different way.
Yeah, But I think the difference here is that we already know what we want them to do. There's a very clear
Yes.
precedent for how to write two squared, and
There
it
is.
doesn't actually matter whether you write two sub superscript two, whether you write it in MathML, whether you write it in two and then a square. You know, it doesn't actually matter. We know what we
Yeah.
want, and I just feel like by giving Mathcat a list of characters, fine, we're giving them the list of characters, but it feels like there's probably a bit more consultancy work, which I mean, normally I'd suggest we charge for consultancy work, but Mathcat's an open source project, so I'm not quite going down that line. But I just feel like perhaps there's more that they need that perhaps they don't know that they need it because the questions that they're asking are indicative of the fact that they don't know an awful lot about UEB, and perhaps we ought to offer them some time or something. I don't know, perhaps through the Braille Technology Committee or perhaps through Clive's committee, I'm not sure. But
Yeah.
I just feel like it's a bigger piece of work than giving them a list of symbols. And I feel like actually
Yeah.
working with them is probably going to do quite a lot for one of the resolutions, and therefore we do have a
Yes.
mandate to do it if we want to.
Yeah. So there is another point here. I wasn't going to say it because it goes into the weeds of these type form Unicodes. To my knowledge, and I may be wrong, and I would very much like to be wrong, there is not a way in some Braille translators to say, for this input character, do that output and turn on some other flag, like type forms. Some of the Braille translators just cannot do that. So I don't know if that's true for Mathcat. So I don't know if you can say, for this squared Unicode, you need to go into superscript mode. And here's a first character. Because, of course, if you did to the power of 24 and you did it with the two superscript Unicode characters, you don't want superscript 2, superscript 4, because that means something completely different.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that I was whenever I think about Mathcat, I think I'd like to better understand where the concept of something like Mathcat ends, and then we end up talking about the Braille what does the Braille translator do? In other words,
Yeah.
the screen reader is using a Braille translator, and Mathcat, clearly has to do whatever it does to then produce whatever is coming out on my Braille display has also gone through LibLui or something like that. So I haven't yet worked out where
Yeah.
Mathcat finishes and the Braille translator picks up. So
Yeah.
there's that whole, it's a whole area of unclarity to me. As I understand it, the job of Mathcat is to decode Microsoft's internals when it comes to writing mathematical expressions in a Word document. And in doing that decoding, it must have to send something to the Braille display and to the Braille translator. And
Yes, so I
what that does, I don't haven't yet
yeah,
got
so
my head
I think
around
it's
that.
actually broader than that. Mathcat can handle various formats, including your word equation objects, MathML, and I wouldn't be surprised if several others, because you can use exactly the same technology on the web or in a Word document, and it wouldn't surprise me in other places as well. I believe that for the math expression, Mathcat handles it all. There is no separate Braille translator. And
You could be right.
I kind of get the impression that this list of characters was trying to be as complete in quotes as it could be. So it included every possibility. So all these, going back to these double struck characters and the italicized X's, they are used in the word equation editor rather than applying fonts. These Unicodes are used. And so Mathcat has to handle the whole lot. And there are lines and lines and lines and lines and lines of them. So yeah, it's a huge long list, the whole thing.
There's a whole drop down section, one for double struck, one for scripts, one for fractors.
And then you get italics, and then you get bold, and then you get bold fracture, and then you get
I
it goes
didn't see
on for
that
a
in
long.
Word, but in the Unicode mathematical
But
calculator.
Word uses those characters. So if, for example, you have an
Oh, I
old
see.
version of NVDA which does not include Mathcat, and you try and read a word expression, you get a very long string of very interesting Unicode characters, numbers.
Well, to make sense of all of this, I think the outcome is Matthew and I to coordinate some kind of perhaps meeting to focus on some of that technology stuff before we get on to actually making decisions about the symbols themselves.
Well, I think we can make some decisions about the non-alphabet
Oh,
symbols. We
sure.
can certainly do that bit. So the precedes and the diamond shape, we can do that still.
And we do
I just
still
think we've.
have,
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
sorry. We
Is
do
there
still have
anybody?
Jen with a hand just to.
Jen, would you like to speak now?
I thought I lowered my hand. I kind of changed my mind. I was just wondering, I might just let it go for now because we're kind of off topic. I was just thinking about more of a point of order in how we, if there's anything that we as an exec need to decide about how working groups work, because we haven't typically had them. But I mean, we can talk about that maybe at our next exec meeting, just so that we can focus
Yeah,
on
if look,
the.
if that's an issue that needs discussion, then that's fine.
And I don't know if it does. It,
I
you know
would
what
have
I'm.
thought that within a committee, if you need some people to just do some work, that should be okay. But
I would think so
obviously,
too. I just,
you know,
because we've never really done it, I just, it was, you know.
it's just people going off and doing a particular chunk of work and then bringing it back to the committee is what I've got in mind. I think that's what we're talking about. But you know, if we
And my
defer to
point was
that.
more just do we, I wasn't saying, oh my goodness, we can't do this. We need to talk about it. I just wanted to make sure that we just wanted to
We'd
make
be
sure
very
that.
clear about this, what the group was for and why it was doing its thing. It's right. But
Just a logistical point that I, yeah, thought I'd raise.
Well, if you want to if anyone wants to pursue that, then that's fine. But right now it's just an idea. So
I think
if
it's a great
people
idea. I
I
think it
think
would be a great
it is,
way of,
and I hope
yes,
people
I
do come
just,
forward and you know, join in.
I think it's a great idea also.
Oh yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, Jen, about the box ticking the box, just to make sure that we have some rules about what working group can and can't
100%,
do. So yeah,
6 to 27
I'd be
people.
happy to bring that forward to the next exec meeting just to explore the details of that. But I agree, it's a really good idea.
Yeah, that's all where I was coming from. Yeah.
That's cool.
Amber, can you lower my, could you lower my hand?
Your
I'm
hand
in
is
the to-do
lowered.
list. It is okay, perfect. Okay.
It's lowered.
Thanks. Awesome.
So, are there any other matters that someone wishes to raise?
Maybe we
As
should open this up now for the attendees and see if
yeah.
attendees have anything to say since we weren't able to get to them during the last session. They now could have the opportunity to raise any questions or issues around either of them.
Okay.
So, attendees, if you have any questions, comments, anything,
We did
raise your
get to
hand,
a couple of
please.
attendees in the last session.
Yes, we did.
All right. I guess not.
Well, hopefully people understand something of what Matthew and I, for our code mate, our various committees, our two committees are having to wrestle with to make progress. These things often seem easy on the surface, but when you get on, when you get into it, you suddenly realize there's lots more. And you know, I'm very indebted to the some very knowledgeable people on my committee that know streets more than I do. I mean, I heard Matthew's, was it someone's comment, Matthew's comment about maths at school or something. You know, my maths goes back a long way. I'm certainly not up to date. I know enough to know why we need UEB to work. And so that's the goal, but I'm certainly not up to speed with current mathematical usage. So I'm very much indebted to people on my committee who are just absolutely knowledgeable. Some of them voting members, some of them observers, but there's no shortage of intellectual power to bring issues out, and then we have to wrestle with them as best we can. And I suspect it's the same for Matthew.
Very much so, that the UEB rules encompass a very, very broad range of topics. And one of the things that has become apparent to me over the last couple of years in particular is that there are certain code maintenance topics that I get excited about and that I think, yes, I've got a lot to say about this. And there are some where I think, goodness, I know we need to do it, but I don't even know where to start. And so it really is only because we have a committee where somebody else on the committee does know where to start with it that we're able to
Yeah.
achieve what we're able to achieve.
If we're wanting something to leave with before we go, we could come back to that little curious example that I gave before. You know, you've got a circle horizontally juxtaposed with another circle. We would use the
I don't think
horizontal juxtaposition. Anyone interested?
I don't think you need a shape terminator.
Well, consider this, hey. You start
Yeah,
with
it's
the
very dottily, very densely dotted. Do people need to know what it actually is in Braille?
in
There are
Braille.
times where you need a terminator.
Yeah,
Well, to say
I
you've got
don't.
the shape indicator symbol, but that needs a grade one indicator because it's could be read
Yeah.
as ED. So you've got your shape indicator that's opening the shape mode. Then you've got a full cell which indicates a
Yeah.
circle.
Yeah. And
So
you got another full cell.
how is that read? We're still in shape mode.
So the way you could do it is all the shapes are actually a single symbol. Think about it. The square, the circle, even the parallelogram, they're all actually a single symbol.
But if you have multiple ones, how do they join together without confusing with other symbols?
Yeah, because
Yeah.
the those composite
The
indicators
compass, the composite,
they
you then
join
have
item.
you yeah, because I mean you can have you could if you could in have you could if you wanted to do, I don't know, an A and then the horizontal juxtaposition indicator, then the letter E, and that would be an invalid but still technically correct way of doing AE ligature.
But A, you're in grade two mode, that's okay. But if you're in
Well,
shape mode,
assuming you're in grade one mode, I mean,
you're in grade
I could
one.
put a 5-6 up before the four sign. But all I'm saying is currently all the defined shapes are actually single symbols. So there's no need technically to have this terminator.
6:52, 2 minutes ago.
Okay,
What
I don't know if
about?
this is the time for this. Oh.
No. I didn't want
But
to get into this
because
discussion.
there are circumstances where you, because the shape isn't followed by a space, and you like there's,
Yeah.
if
If
you're
you define it,
saying,
but if you define it as it's a symbol,
but that's not always, especially when it's a transcriber defined shape.
that's different. Transcriber defined shapes are
Well, that's
different.
but that's probably what we're thinking of. If in that
Yeah.
situation, you would
So
need
I'm saying
to.
that's one of
All
the
the.
situations.
All
There's
the.
other
Yeah.
situations too
Yeah.
where the shape is not followed by a space,
Yeah.
which would terminate it. It's followed by something else. I can't
Yeah.
remember whether it was
Well,
my UEB,
if
my
you had
technical
circle
exam,
plus
but.
square, for example, circle plus square, if we say that the circle is a symbol and it therefore finishes the shape, then there's no need to specifically terminate shape mode before the plus.
It just depends on the whether the
Yeah, I didn't
it's
want to get
always
into
one.
this one. I didn't want to get into this one.
I know. I just want to say that I think we do need it. That and I
Yeah,
will say no more.
yeah. No, it's
Cool.
fine.
But
This
we
is why
can
we need to
therefore the
clarify the rules
symbol.
on
I'll
shape.
come to the UK and
Your symbol
we'll
ends at the
talk about
root. You'd
yes,
have
it
to
does, and
totally
so
define.
a circle
But
does. They all do.
let's meet in the UK and
the
have a
symbol is
discussion at a pub
the full.
the
Yeah.
symbol for the
about this one.
circle
Doesn't sound
is
riveting.
when you're
Yeah.
in shape mode, like then the full cell represents a circle. That is the Braille
Yes.
symbol.
Yes.
It's, yeah.
And that is the root. So yeah.
In
No,
that instance, yes.
the problem is that it's a mode, that the shape prefix is setting shape mode. It's not a symbol prefix, and therefore it's a bit like arrow mode. You've gone into arrow mode, and therefore you need to be able to get out of arrow
Determinate.
mode. So we could convert that from a shape mode indicator to a shape mode prefix, and that would kind of do what James is saying that James wants to do, but it would involve changing it. You can't.
The rule needs clarifying anyway. As I said, I did not want to get into this discussion tonight, and I'm
Well,
not minuting it.
I'll meet
Perhaps
you
we
in
won't.
Boston.
Well,
There's
perhaps
just something to leave with. We had 10
perhaps
minutes.
we'll bring it here. Well, let's put it on you.
I'm waiting for the
Yeah.
wet fish to come through the post.
Hey, I promised
Jody
us on
has
Sunday that we'd have fun.
but
So
Jody has asked
that's
us to reflect on it, and I guess that's what we've done. And it, you
Leave
know,
it with you.
It needs some resolution, I guess, at
It
some
does.
time. So at least it gives us an indication of what we're going to have to wrestle with
We do need to resolve it before we move on with
Because
the rest of
there
the
are lots of other
symbols work.
shapes which are also
We need it
required.
resolved. All
Okay, well
right.
we've made
Sounds
an
like
we've made an it'll be noted in the minutes, James, that at least it's an issue that has been raised and had was discussed and will need to be resolved.
not
And
fully
it just
resolved.
goes onto that list of things that, you know, that's why we're here.
It's the fun parts, isn't it?
Exactly.
This is why we need meetings, so we can get into these
Yes. Face-to-face meetings, so everybody is in the
minutiae
same time zone.
details.
Weeds.
So thank you, Judy. I think that
Thank
might
you.
wrap my session up.
I think this is a good time for us to adjourn for the day, and we will resume again tomorrow at 2000 UTC.
This is
And
FM Judy, if I
yes,
could interrupt,
you may.
just to let people know that in an hour, an hour from now,
Oh,
will be
yes.
the second webinar of the for the ICEBWU joint meeting, the survey launch. So, Matthew, I will see you in an hour, and perhaps some of the rest of you as well.
More Braille, more empowerment, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yes.
Spot on. Braillists.org/survey if you want to register.
All right. Very good.
See you there. Thanks,
Thank
everybody.
you. Thanks,
Bye
everybody.
tomorrow or in an
Thank
hour
you.
tomorrow.
Bye.
Or today.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.